we're talking about joy today, and what a better topic. We couldn't pick a better topic than what we have going on in this church. Amen? And one of the things that I've been focusing on this because I've been thinking about what I'm going to say and so forth, and as I'm focusing on this, preparing my lesson, I get an email, and the title on it was Comfort and Joy. And I thought, oh, this is going to be good. I can use this in my lesson. And it was an advertisement for underwear. So I really can't use that now, can I? One of the things is we need to understand is that there is a misunderstanding by the world on what true joy is. We think it's having things. We think it's being with certain people. And I got to tell you, this time of the year when so many of us have lost loved ones or going through bad times, it's hard to think about joy if you think about it in a worldly manner. But you see, there is a difference between worldly joy and biblical joy. You probably thought to yourself, what kind of Christmas message is this going to be where he starts off in James where he says, count it pure joy. Look at your notes there. Underline those words. Count it pure joy. He says, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, how can you be joyful if you're facing trials? It's because you have a biblical perspective. Look at your notes here under joy to the world. We need to understand what brought Jesus joy. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and in order to understand that, you have to go back to chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews and see the heroes of faith that are mentioned there. And then it comes in chapter 12 and verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Underline those words, the race marked out for us, because every single person in here has a race that God has marked out for you. You see, your race is not my race, and my race is not your race. Everybody in here is in a different race. And the thing that we do is sometimes when we're in a different race is we run together. And sometimes we run by ourselves, but when we run together, guess what? It's a lot easier. He says, let us run the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Now, underline these words, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Underline those words, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And it goes on to say, scorning his shame, its shame, and set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You see, Jesus endured the cross with joy. And I don't know whether you've spent any time really reflecting on the cross. We tend to spend more time reflecting on the resurrection of Jesus. And this time of the year, we spend some time reflecting on the birth of Jesus. And then there's some times where we reflect on the miracles or the teaching of Jesus. But you know what we need to do from time to time? We need to reflect on the suffering of the cross. And when you reflect on that and you read these words, he says, for the joy set before him. And that's what he was going to accomplish for God by saving us for our sins. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty, and I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I want you to underline those words. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And the reason why I want you to see that is because there's going to be times in your life that you are going to, the devil is going to try to take away your joy. One of the things that I have been so thankful for, most of you know that Nancy's dad passed away recently. My father passed away not too long ago. And one of the things that we have been able to say to people when they ask us how we're doing is that we have more joy than we have grief, because we know what awaits us. And the same thing with Paul. He says, I can do anything. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 4, I have spoken to you with great frankness. I take pride in you. I am greatly encouraged in, and underline this, in all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds. If you're from a worldly perspective, you think when you have trouble, how can you have joy that knows no bounds? And Colossians 1:24 says, now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you. Underline those words. Now I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you, and fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. How is it that Paul can have such joy? How is it that people can have joy in the midst of their suffering? Well, it's very easily because we are not the source of our joy. The source of our joy is God, and it's being in Christ. Look at your sermon notes. I just brushed my teeth and I can't do a thing with them. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message, and in the midst of severe suffering with joy given by the Holy Spirit. Underline the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. You see, my joy doesn't come from me. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from being in the Word. And I know there's a lot of classes that we've had on the Holy Spirit here at this church, and I know there's a lot of misunderstanding about the work of the Holy Spirit and how He works in our lives, and some of us are figuring it out, and some of us are just kind of confused about it. But I'm going to tell you this. If you have joy in the midst of suffering, it is because of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Look at your sermon notes. Biblical joy is not the results of where we are in life, but where we are in Christ. It's not the results of where we are in life, but where we are in Christ. You see, in this world, you will have trouble. Jesus said that. In this world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have bad things happen. Things are not going to work out the way you want them. You're going to lose loved ones. You're going to get sick. You're going to have some financial crisis. You're going to have problems. As a matter of fact, just think to yourself, I got problems. You got problems. Everybody's got problems. But in the midst of all of that, we are in Christ. So it does not matter what happens to us in this world. It doesn't matter what's happening to me in this life, because I am in Christ, and being in Christ means that this world is not my home. This is a stopping point on the way to heaven. It's really, really hard to understand, but I want you to look at your lesson notes where it says happiness is circumstantial and joy is internal. Joy is internal. And the reason why I want you to see that is because most of us have joy over circumstances. We have joy because somebody gives us a good gift. We have joy because we get a bonus. We have joy because the person we love loves us back. We have joy because we have children. We have joy for all kinds of reasons on this earth. Well, let me tell you that is not joy, that is happiness. Happiness is circumstantial. It's what's going on around us. Joy is internal, and it's what's going on inside of us. As a matter of fact, if you got room in your notes there, It's not what's going on around me. It is what's going on inside me that matters. It's not what's going on around me. It's what's going on inside me that matters. And when you figure that out, you can have joy, biblical joy. Now, the source of joy is, first of all, number one, you need to remember that joy is a gift, not a destination. Joy is a gift, not a destination. I like to go on vacation. As a matter of fact, I have decided at the next elders meeting, I'm preaching twice as much. I need twice as much vacation. I'll let you know how that goes. But the thing of it is I like to go on vacation. And I love going to places I've never been before. I love exploring things. I just think going on vacation is a great thing. But you know what happens every time I go on vacation? I have to come back here. You see, it's a destination, and it brings me some happiness to go to those destinations. But I have to come back to my real life. And it doesn't matter where you go on vacation. It doesn't matter what you think your destination is. But some people's destination is, if I can retire, then I'll be happy. If I can make more money, then I will be happy. And if I can get a certain degree, then I'm going to be happy. Well, let me tell you, those are all destinations. But what God gives us is a gift, and it's not something we arrive at. It's something we become. Look at what it says in John 15, 9 through 12. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in love. And underline verse 11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. If you're struggling right now as a Christian, if you're feeling like somebody has robbed your joy, I would look internally to see if there's something in my life I need to fix. Because if you're going through this life miserable, it's because you're not in step with the Spirit. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 7. So I say this, walk by the Spirit. Underline those words, walk by the Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the fleshly desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you please. Underline those words, you are not to do whatever you please or whatever you want. And the reason why I say that is because if you want to go through this life with joy, you've got to do what the Spirit wants you to do, not what you want to do. And that's a hard thing because I'm going to tell you, in my life, my number one response to everything is a fleshly response. I confess this in the first service, and so I need to confess it in the second service so all of you guys will know that I am a sinner. I was at a truck dealership the other day. Nancy bought me a new truck for Christmas. And I'm very happy. But I was at the truck dealership, and I was talking to somebody about a truck, and I gave him my keys because he had to appraise my truck that I was trading in. And I gave him the keys, and he said, well, I'm going to get somebody to appraise it. And instead of getting somebody to appraise it, I said to him, he took my keys, put them in his pocket, and I said to him, I said, look, I won't tell you his name. I said, I know what you're doing, but I'm going to tell you right now, when I ask for my keys because I'm ready to leave, if you don't give them to me, I'm going to punch you. And I said it about like that. And he looked at me and I said, oh yeah, I'm serious. And he handed me my keys back. Then he got somebody to appraise the car. He handed him the keys. This is Mr. Farr. Here's his keys to his truck so you can get it appraised. And he says, make sure you give him his keys back when you're done. Now, I want to go on to say that he gave me my keys. I got my truck. Everything worked out good. And he's supposed to be here at church on the 29th. So I said I was going to punch him in the name of Jesus, so it worked out okay. I've told you that that's okay to punch people as long as you do it in the name of Jesus, okay? That comes from 1 Opinions chapter 1 and verse 3. But my point here is everything that, the first thing that comes out of my mind is of the flesh. And everything that comes out of my mind that is of the flesh does not bring me joy. Because I am not in step with the Spirit. So I say, walk by the Spirit. And then he goes on to say, so that you are not to do whatever you want. You're not to do whatever you want. Galatians 5, 22 through 25 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, underline joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep step with the Spirit. I want you to look at all of those, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all of those things. I want you to look at those because you are to have all of those. Some people say, well, you know, I don't have peace, but I have patience. Some people say, well, I don't have love, but I have joy. If you are in step with the Spirit, you can analyze your life, and if you don't have those things going on, if you're not kind, if you're not good, if you're not faithful, if you're not gentle, if you don't have self-control, it's because you're not in step with the Spirit, because all of those things come as a gift from God, not a gift from yourself. Number two, joy doesn't come when I have everything, but only comes when you give up everything. Joy doesn't come when you have everything, but only comes when you give up everything. I was talking to a fella years ago, and he was talking about, he found out that Nancy was pregnant, and he said to me, he said, Neil, you need to understand that having children is easy. What's hard is giving them up a little every single day. Letting go of them a little bit every day. And I thought that was a strange thing for him to say. But then my kids came along, and then I started learning more and more about that. And what it was is, you know, when they were little, you had to give up holding them because they got bigger. And then you had to give up carrying them places because they learned to walk. And then after they learned to walk, you had to give up letting them go to school. And then you give up a little bit more and a little bit more, and then they become adults. And in my lifetime, as my kids have become adults, I am continuing to give up because, let me say this to you, my inclination is that everybody should agree with me and do the things that I want them to do. Who said amen? I want to give you $5 later. Okay, Stacy gets $5 later. But that's the way it should be, shouldn't it? I mean, Neil knows best, right? But my kids call from time to time, and they tell me things I don't want to hear, things they have done, things they're going to do. And sometimes I just have to say, well, okay, I don't think that's a good idea, but it's your life. But what I've noticed is the more I've been able to give up, the better relationship I have had. And I want to parlay that into this. The more I give up on the things of this earth, and I quit striving for the things of this earth, the better my relationship with God is. And I'm looking in the audience, and we've got a lot of young people in this audience, and I want you to go for the gusto, as they say, and get everything out of this life you can. But just remember this. This life is not where. And whether you become successful or not, whether you get married or not, whether or not you have a big home and a fancy truck like me, that doesn't make you success. Makes you success right relationship with God, right relationship with us. You see, this world is not our home. And as many good things there are in this world, our focus should be on heaven, not on this earth. Psalms chapter 16, verse 11 says, "You make known to me the path of life." And then underline these next two words, "You will." You will. It doesn't say, "I will fill me up, fill me with joy in your presence." It says, "You will fill me with joy in your presence." It's a gift that God gives you. Now, Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, Jesus said these words, "Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." There's nothing wrong with having the things of this world. There's nothing wrong with striving for education. There's nothing wrong being success. But if you make that your goal in life, you will lose your life. But if you will give your life up for Christ, then you will gain your life. Whoever loses their life for my sake will find it, is what it says. And then Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking." Oh, how I love to eat. I was going to say and drink, but y'all would take it the wrong way. "But of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Underline that. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You see, in order to have a good life on this earth, it's not about having choice food and choice wine. It is about having righteousness, having peace, and having joy. And you do all of that in the Holy Spirit. Number three, joy comes from a focus, not a feeling. Joy comes from a focus, not a feeling. And the reason why I want you to hear that is because so many times we think that love is a feeling, but love is a focus. Joy is a focus. Peace is a focus. It's not a feeling we get. Because I'm going to tell you, if you're like me, your emotions are all over the board. Some mornings I wake up and I am in a great mood. And I want everybody to go to heaven. And then there's other mornings. And I'm waking up and I'm not sure if any of y'all are going to make it. Because that's how I feel. When I focus on God and I focus on His words, then I'm in the right spot. That's when I have truth. It's not because you treat me right. It's not because you love me. It's not because you say nice things about me. It's because of my focus. Because this world is not my home. And I am spending the rest my life letting go a little bit at a time, and my hope is when I die, I will be so heavenward bound that I will be looking forward to my death. Say, "Neil, that's a really kind of weird." Well, Paul said it, "For me to live is Christ, I is gain." He achieved that. Now, the next thing, what we focus on. Well, let me go to Romans 15, 13. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope," and underline these words, "power of the Holy Spirit." May the God of hope fill you with all joy. This is something that God does. And in order for God to do that, you have to focus on Him. As a matter of fact, look at your lesson notes. What we focus on is what we see. What we focus on is what we see. You said, "Well, no, that's not true." I'm like, "Yeah, it is." Have you ever bought a new car and you think you have the only one like that? Then you drive around and you see a dozen of them? How about, I had a guy in the first service and he had had some melanoma cut off the top of his head. And he says, "Neil, I'm a little concerned about this." And I said, "Well, why is that? That's something that can be treated." And he said, "Well, you don't understand. I've started dreaming about it now. I had a dream last night. I was in the doctor's office, and they were getting ready to cut off more of my head. And I said, it won't hurt you. You should look in the mirror. I didn't really. Come on. Quit being so judgy here. No, I told them, I said, they cut off the tip of my nose. I'm not worried about it. They can keep cutting as long as I can speak and I can see. It'll be all right. I lost my good looks a long time ago. But he's having dreams, and the reason why he's having dreams is because he thinks he's let go of it, but subconsciously he's thinking about it. Because what we focus on is what we see. I loved it when I went with Shaq to the DR, and Shaq did a devotional every night, and the devotional was this every single night: where did you see God today? We started out at the beginning of the week, and people were like, you know, I don't really know. But by the end of the week, everybody was seeing God somewhere, and everybody had a chance to share at night as where they saw God. And it was because they focused on where am I going to see God today. If you focus on what's going on around you and not on the things that God has given you, you're going to get the things that are around you. But if you focus on what God is doing in your life, you're going to be more in tune with the Spirit. Well, I've got on the end of your notes there is, how do we truly celebrate Christmas? Because there's a lot of ways people celebrate Christmas. As a matter of fact, I love the commercial. Lexus is the something, season two, remember, something like that, where they're selling Lexus. And I love all the other ways that they use Christmas to sell things. They market to you. As a matter of fact, it's one of the things I hate the most about Christmas time is the commercialization of Christmas. Not because I think you shouldn't buy gifts for me. I think you should. But I just don't want you to go out and spend a lot of money. But here's the thing. Christmas is about the love and the joy that we receive from Jesus. And it's how we represent Him. Have you seen these cars where they have put lights all over them? That's a new phenomenon. And as church members here, I want you to just listen carefully. Don't do that. It's okay to put Christmas lights on your house, but if you start putting them on your car, I'm going to have prayers with you. And maybe even do something in the name of Jesus. I don't know. We don't represent Jesus by putting lights on our house or lights on our cars or poinsettias up front or Christmas tree. We represent Jesus by giving love and joy to the world. You really want to have a December to remember? Then bring love and joy to everyone you meet. We sing an invitation song every Sunday. We sing that song in order to give you a chance to reflect on where you are in Christ and if there's something that you need to do different in your life. It may very well be you need to tweak some things that you're doing. It may be that you've got something going on in your life that's consuming your life, and you need the prayers of the church, or you may have sin in your life you need to confess to the church. If you need to do that, you can come forward and do that. If you've never been buried with Christ in baptism, you can come forward and do that as well. But let me ask you to do this. When we sing this song, make sure that you leave here different than when you came in. The lesson is yours as we stand and sing.